It is that time of the broadcast weekend, time for the program spotlighting the ministry of Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. The founder and the director of Feed My Sheep is a gentleman across the small table from me. It's Reverend Bruce Hood, and as I'm catching up with him, he's had a long day.
It has been long. Yes, sir, it has been long.
As we're recording this, it's Tuesday evening. Bruce Hood, in addition to being the pastor of the Feed My Sheep Church at Lemon and Plumas in West Fresno and the overseer of everything in the ministry, including the inner city outreach, where they're equipping people to be entrepreneurs and training them to do jobs, and there's a men's facility, there's a shelter for women and children. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You'd think the man's busy enough, but on top of that, he also volunteers as a City of Fresno police chaplain. I've asked you on past programs, Bruce, aren't you busy enough with what you're doing to add chaplain duties to your day?
Well, you know, chaplain duties is a very special duty. It enables me to be a light and a witness all over the City of Fresno of the power of God. Remember, I've told you stories about when people saw me driving the car, and they've said the same one that used to ride in the back seat is now driving the car. Those are opportunities, all opportunities to preach Jesus. Where I'm at in the streets every day and out there in the highways and byways, being a police chaplain adds a lamp to the light that's already glowing in me. It's proof that only God could do something like that.
Yeah.
You figure a man's been arrested 49 times since he was a kid. And, you know, and all the trouble I've been in, they just don't make them Fresno police chaplains.
I know. Yeah, and the man who was arrested 49 times, he's talking about himself. And as he's sitting across from me tonight, he's wearing the blue work shirt. The patches on the shoulder say Fresno Police, and he's got Fresno Police Chaplain above his left pocket. So he's in uniform tonight. The reason I brought up the chaplain issue and the reason I mentioned that it's been a long day for him as we're recording this Tuesday night is you were the first chaplain on the scene of a story that, well, I guess it's pretty much gone around the world by now, certainly around the nation, and that was the shooting that took place at a meat processing place near downtown Fresno.
Yes, I was, Ken. And actually, you know, this is my duty day, and that's why I was the first chaplain to be called out. It was a tough sight to see with all the people and the stress and the troubles that they was going through.
Yeah, reading the story online and getting a little bit of background on it. Again, this is as of Tuesday evening when we're recording it. Things might have changed by the time you hear this on the weekend. But the gentleman in question, the employee there, I guess it's kind of a noisy plant with lots of machinery, and a lot of the employees wear earplugs. So they weren't initially aware that there were shots being fired, but he pulled a gun, went methodically to certain people. He passed certain people by, but went to others. Shot one gentleman who died at the scene, shot a second man who later died at the hospital, shot a woman who was expected to recover. I'm trying to keep track of it all, but yeah, he shot those people. Apparently, he went up to a fourth person and tried to do the same thing, shoot him point blank in the head or the neck, but he was out of ammunition. So he walked away from that person, he went outside, he reloaded, and he put the gun to his own head and killed himself. So that person who was at the other end of the gun when they ran out of ammunition, I think they're probably very thankful tonight.
Sure they are, Ken. You know, if you and I or anybody would be after a scene like that, it was very, very emotional at that scene today.
So since you were the first chaplain there, what I know in the past you've talked about some of your chaplain duties. It's been the very heavy-hearted duty of having to go to a house and report that a member of their family has been killed or been arrested or whatever the case might be. When you got there to the plant today, what were some of the first things you had to do?
Well, see, in a situation like that, you have just a ton of police officers surrounding the building, what they call a perimeter. And the yellow tape is up everywhere. Abbey was blocked off northbound. And and people just kind of standing around from all over the neighborhood looking and wondering to see what's happening. You got news reporters everywhere. And so what's happening at that time is detectives and those kind of people are kind of looking at everything and doing their work, getting their work done. And so no one can actually go in or around where the scene took place at. One of my responsibilities as a chaplain is to comfort those people that are hurt. Those people that knew the person that was killed or maybe a relative of the person that was killed. And then also at the same time, to serve the Fresno police officers. What happens is that Fresno police officers is around that perimeter. You know, they at a post, like, and they have to stay there. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times they get thirsty. They need snacks, you know, because you never know what time they'll be able to go and sit down and eat.
Yeah.
You know, in a situation like that, it usually lasts pretty much all day.
Yeah.
And so that perimeter, when it's set up, those officers got to be right there.
Yeah.
Our responsibility as a police chaplain is to go around that perimeter and make sure that those officers have water and things like that, you know, to keep them a little more comfortable.
The chaplain really is a very mostly a servant position, isn't it?
That's exactly what we are. We're servants, and we're there to serve the people that's heartbroken. Family members that's left behind, friends. We're there to serve the police officers, detectives, and all those people that's working that scene from the police department.
How long were you out there for today?
Well, what I did is I spent a lot of time going, picking up water, things like that,
okay,
and bringing it back to the Ness vehicle.
Okay.
And the Ness vehicle is a big, a huge motorhome.
Okay.
Was all remodeled for. And we use that Ness vehicle to go out on scenes like that where there's police officers going to be out there for a long period of time. And it's also used at times when the police, there's like a SWAT team that's called out. And that was even last night before the situation. There was a gentleman that was barricaded inside the house, and SWAT team had to come out. And so the chaplain's Ness vehicle was there to provide the things for those police officers that need to be provided. Right in the middle of that call, we got another call. There was a man that committed suicide. And because I was a chaplain on duty, I had to kind of not check off of that call to go out and serve at the other call. And so I was kind of going back and forth all day.
On the suicide one, were there family members to be consoled?
Yes, they were. And the family members were there when I arrived, and they were just, of course, shattered in tears. And so I spent time with those families and prayed with them. And, you know, when things like that happen, though, there's no words. You just... There's nothing you can really say.
That's what I was wondering. When you come on a scene like that, Bruce, and you don't know, you know, are the families atheist? Are they agnostic? Are they Buddhist? Are they Muslims? You don't know what, if anything, religious beliefs they have. I guess you probably respond differently in every situation, but like you said, when there's no words, how do you respond to that?
See, what I do is I kind of spend a little bit of time to fill them out. And I can't tell you what words I use to open a conversation, you know, and this and that.
There's no script.
There's no script. And it's basically nothing you can say when someone's got a dead loved one, you know, there. And, you know, it's just something that God has to do once you get there on the scene.
Yes, it's probably what you pray every day. God, whoever I come across, give me the words to speak.
That's right, yeah. And so anytime that I'm en route going to a scene to where I have to perform as a chaplain, those are my words that I'm praying on the way. You know, God give me the words.
Yeah.
And, you know, to say to these people.
Wow.
Give me the right exact conversation so that these people can be opened up, you know, to receive a word of healing.
Yeah.
You know, once you get them to that point to where they open, you know, then there's a lot of things that, you know, that you can do to help them spiritually.
Going back to the scene of the first incident today, the shooting at the meat processing place, was there, you said you're providing a lot of support for the Fresno PD officers on duty there. Was there any counseling involved at that site?
Well, basically, that was my initial purpose, is to go over and try to work with the people that was there. There was a lot of employees that was there that knew these people that were shot, and they was all there and kind of in one place and kind of, you know, just kind of puzzled. And you could see it in their face that they were just really shook up. And so my responsibility was to go over and kind of catch those that are kind of out by themselves and kind of disattached from everyone else, and do whatever I could to comfort them and help them through the time they was going through. But, you know, the detectives had their work to do, too. And so at times like that, you know, there's nothing you can really do until the detectives are done.
Right.
You know, because they're there to, you know, to do what they got to do to find out and get to the bottom of it. And so it wasn't a whole lot that I could do with those people that worked with them for some time. And then, like I say, by that time, you know, I was already en route going out picking up water and things like that,
yeah.
You know, that we had to take around to all the offices that had set up the perimeter. And Ken, you know, just like you said, what we are as chaplains, we nothing other than just servants. We there to serve the community. And that's what we do. And I really enjoy it, too. You know, I hate going out to scenes like that and, you know, like, you know, to see these things happen. But I love to be a servant at those times to help folk when these things do happen.
I remember the times in the past where I've asked you, again, why you add that onto your already overflowing plate. You said that unpleasant as the situations can be on most of the calls, you said it somehow it makes real when you're standing behind the pulpit on Sunday mornings. It makes real, more real, the message that you're bringing to the folks in front of you.
Sure, sure. You know, being a police chaplain, it helps you, gives you a great ability to counsel people, too. You know, because you learn from experience. You know, to counsel with people and sit down with people and work things out. And then it's something about it, being a police chaplain, is just God just empowers you. And I can't explain it, but he does. And he gives you abilities to preach the gospel when you stand behind the pulpit. Because instead of just reading about the sermon, you're actually living it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're actually living it out. And so the words that you say, they just roll out because, you know, you've experienced some things.
Yeah.
So now you can just stand and just your words can just roll out.
Kind of stuff, I mean, book learning is all fine and well, but it's the kind of stuff you've got to experience out on the streets. And again, that's where you were in the bad old days. That's how you got arrested 49 times, being crazy out in the streets. And this is where God has just placed you time and time and time again. You're a street ministry kind of person.
Yeah, and then also another way it helps out, you know, being in West Fresno, you know, that's my kind of like my beat over there. And that's where I'm at full time, Sunday to Sunday. And that's where all our ministry is established at.
Yeah.
And so being a police chaplain, it enables me to get in touch with the community. There's all kind of situations that arise. And, you know, one of the things that the police chaplains are involved in is domestic calls where you had a husband and a wife, a girlfriend or a boyfriend feuding. The police get involved. What happens is sometimes police get, they'll get a call from the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then after so long, it could turn out to be tragic. And so what we're doing as police chaplains, we're doing what we call follow-ups. And after the police get a call for a domestic, like what we do is we go in and see if we can help any kind of way. Is there any counseling that we can counsel or, can we pray for you? And in return, you get to really know the people in the neighborhood, get to meet a lot of people and work with them. And so I like it because of that. And again, not because of the bad things that's happening,
right. But
because I can be there
right. To
help out when those bad things happen.
Scripture says to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. There's never been and never will be an ivory tower in the life of Bruce Hood, will?
Well, don't look like it's going to be. just what God is doing. We all of us go with the flow, I tell people, when the cloud start moving, the children had to move with the cloud.
The cloud by day and the fire by night.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's just a glimpse of just one day in the life of Bruce Hood, pastor and Fresno City police chaplain. Again, as we're recording this on Tuesday night, that's the kind of day he's had so far. You've got some stuff coming up in the very near future you'll want to talk about. And we're not even going to touch Christmas trees yet, even though it's November already, which means later this month, in about 2 weeks, you'll be selling Christmas trees?
Probably about 2-3 weeks, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it's reality. Before you know it, you and I are going to be sitting here, and it's going to be December the 23rd, 2 days from Christmas.
Yep, and we'll be talking about how the lot did. And again, with Feed My Sheep selling Christmas trees, it's not what the rest of corporate America is doing. Is let's make a killing. Let's make as much money as we can, monopolizing, supposedly celebrating the birth of Christ. No. The Feed My Sheep Christmas Tree Lot is the single biggest fundraiser for your ministry of the entire year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's, we always look forward to the Christmas tree sales. And those monies are used to carry us through, throughout the year with all the ministry stuff that we do.
Very quickly, you can look for the lot opening up probably a day or two before Thanksgiving, right around that week, the middle of the week. It's going to be where it has been the past few years, Shields Avenue, just a couple of blocks west of Blackstone, a couple of blocks west of Manchester Center, on the north side of Shields, at the corner of Shields and Del Mar. And that's all about Christmas trees for this week. We've got other stuff to talk about before then.
Yes, we do. This Saturday, though, Ken, we'll be at our annual car show and block party out at Tranquility with Pastor Dwayne Labar. So we're looking forward to going out there and being with them again and doing what we can for Jesus in the little town of Tranquility.
So as we say so many times, if you're hearing this on Saturday morning, that's today, November 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, November 10th, and that's taking place. What hours will you be out there in Tranquility?
From 10 to 3, I think it is.
Okay, I'm assuming Tranquility is small enough that it'd probably be easy to find the car show. What?
Yeah, well, we'll be at the park in Tranquility,
okay.
and they only have one park, and you go through the town and you'll see it.
It ain't Chicago.
No, not at all. But the thing of it is about it, there's souls that belong to Jesus there in Tranquility. So that's the most important part.
Tranquility is this week, and the big event, the one that's taking up so much planning and preparation right now. What's the date on that, the Myth March?
November the 17th. And, Ken, I think this is probably going to be a bigger one than we ever had. And I can tell by the volume of calls I'm getting for the event. And it's just... it's looking like it's going to be a very, very packed park.
Now, that's next Saturday, the 17th.
That's the Saturday right after, Tranquility. So
I'm winking at him. He says, we're recording this before the weekend, but that'll be next Saturday, the 17th, Bruce.
Yeah, I understood what your wink was. You're right. It'll be next Saturday.
The wheels of that began with the annual event National Night Out back in August, and you've been involved with that for a number of years at various locations. This past summer, you were at Quigley Park out there near Fruitland, Dakota, and you had such a good response to your presence at the National Night Out. That's where the whole idea was birthed, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And then I think we ride on time, and I think we're in God's timing for this event. If you would remember, probably about 2 weeks ago, there was an explosion over near there where there was actually a meth lab in operation. And that meth lab, it blew up, it exploded. And it flattened the whole house. The police told me that the house next door, it moved it up in the air 3 feet. That's how big the explosion was. People heard the explosion from a mile, 2 miles away.
Wow.
The windows shook from a mile away from that explosion.
Wow.
And so that neighborhood is kind of shaking. And so I think we're going in right on time to set up a methamphetamine awareness outreach and to share with people. One of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be educating people on the effects of methamphetamine, what to look for when methamphetamine is coming in your neighborhood and even in your home. Sometimes parents don't have a clue of what's going on with their children.
And again, that's the type of thing that it doesn't happen only in, quote, that part of town or, quote, only in that zip code. Meth is no respecter of persons or economics, is it?
No, it's not. And the reason we're targeting meth is because it's the most popular drug out there. And it's the most devastating, destroying drug that ever hit the street. And it has more customers than any other drug has ever had. Methamphetamine. Yes. It has more. There's more people getting involved than there has been for any other drug that's ever been produced. And it's the most destroying drug, mentally, physically. You know, I mean, it just really, really takes people down.
Yeah.
All the way to the graveyard.
Yeah. I've known people that they used to smoke pot back in the 70s, and I'm pretty sure they're still toking today, all these decades later, and it may do a number on your brain, but it doesn't tear you down to where you look like an old person. Like meth just completely wrecks you, spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm. That's why we going out, Ken, begin to get the community on the same page that we are.
That's coming up next Saturday, November 17th at Quigley Park. That's located at Fruit and Dakota on the northwest, kind of the central west side of Fresno. And you're going to start with a march through the area there, march against methamphetamine, and then there's going to be a day-long series of activities with, well, probably everything, all the stops you pull out at your events, don't you?
Yes, yes, yes. We're looking at feeding that whole community. And the great thing is that we've been able to set this up to where we can just, everything is going to be free for the whole community. I mean, food from pony rides to carnival stuff to, you know, you name it. It's just going to be there and be there for that community and for the people that come in. But our idea is to use these things to draw them.
Yeah.
And then once they're there, then the educational process starts.
Yeah, I wish you could see the look in Bruce Hood's eyes whenever he says something about it's there to draw the people, get their attention. You see the twinkle in his eye.
Well, of course, you know, we gotta have something. You know, we gotta have a net.
There you go.
You know, a net, and once we got a good net, then we can get the fish to where we can get them clean.
It's a cliche, but it's true. People don't care what you know until they know if you care. And what time will the events at the park go to?
We're looking at probably about 4 o'clock.
Okay. Okay, and again, it's going to be Feed My Sheep in action with bounce houses and car show and on and on and on and on and on. If you've never seen the ministry in action and want to pick up a free meal while you're at it, well, Quigley Park is the place to be. The March Against Methamphetamine, followed by the big rally next Saturday the 17th. Quigley Park, Fruit and Dakota in Fresno. Give Bruce a call to connect. 978-5469. It is the 559 area code, 978-5469. And of course, near the end of the program every week, the prayer requests.
Yes, you know Charlie Ray. He's a shining trophy that came from Arizona. And
your cousin.
Yes, and he's been there with us now for 3 years, I think, has it been? God has delivered him from alcohol, drugs, and all that, and he runs a office at the printing shop. Charlie Ray just found out that his daughter has breast cancer. So he's asking that we pray for his daughter.
Wow.
You know, Charlie Ray just got done battling cancer himself.
He came out on top.
He came out on top. And he's believing God for his daughter's breast cancer. But anyway, say a prayer for Charlie Ray's daughter. Another gentleman by the name of Pasquale has a nerve damage in his legs. It's very severe. He can hardly use his legs. And so he's asking that that we pray for his legs. And then we have Muriel, who has been a servant at the rescue mission for years and years and years. I remember when I was there going through the program, she was there serving at the rescue mission. And she just had surgery on her leg for cancer. So we want to pray that, you know, that the cancer be gone and don't come back. And Bobby Henry, our faithful brother, has asked us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then also pray for our country that has turned its back on God. And those are our prayer requests for this weekend.
As always, if you've got a prayer request you'd like to have added to the list, call Bruce Hood, 978-5469, 978-5469. And with that, do you get to go home now?
I get to go home.
A long day as a police chaplain. Bruce Hood, God bless you, sir, and we'll see you on the radio.
See you on the radio.
And thanks for joining us for this week's program from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.